I would like to acknowledge the Bidjigal peoples and Gadigal peoples of the Eora Nation, on whose ground we meet, we teach, talk and learn every day, and pay my respects to elders past, elders present and elders emerging. I would also like to acknowledge all of our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander brothers and sisters who are listening.
I'd like to acknowledge the land and the people too.
Welcome to Talk Talk, an AFTERS podcast production, exploring Indigenous language and storytelling with Kaya Sheriff in conversation with AFTERS inaugural Elder in Residence, Uncle Bruce Pascoe.
I'm Kaya Sheriff, and today on the podcast, we'll be focusing on shared history. It's a known fact that White Australia has a black history. To progress as a nation, what do we need to do?
I think you've got to understand your history. We're talking at cross purposes at the moment. Even well-educated, good-hearted Australians seem dumbfounded by the idea that there was an invasion. You know, you only need to read a skerrick of what really happened to be convinced of that. But Aboriginal people find talking with non-Aboriginal people so difficult because there's no mutual understanding of the past. And we need to acknowledge it. Not going to be easy. You know, let's not think that it's all going to be sweetness and light and scones and jam and cream. It's going to be hard. We'll bump into each other. We'll bruise each other. We'll hurt each other. We've got to do it because it's 200 years of denial has done a lot of damage. And so to repair damage isn't easy. We have to, you know, strap ourselves in and say, right, we're going to do this. We're going to do it to the best of our ability. We're going to try not to point the finger, try not to get too upset. And we're doing it for our people, our peoples, Aboriginal people and non-Aboriginal people. We're doing it for the nation. Let's talk about, you know, being one nation and literally embracing the idea that the two facts of our history we can't change is black fellas aren't going to go away, white fellas aren't going to go away. What we make of those two facts is what will become the nation.
This year there's a focus on some of our celebration dates, NAIDOC, Reconciliation Week, of truth-telling. And I think that fits into what you're saying, the concept of shared history. And you mentioned before what's gone on in other countries in regards to truth-telling. And I find very interesting how we in our education system and in our media position where the line of truth is. And is it, who has ownership of that? That's where the shifts will be when those.
Yeah.
It's a hard one.
I don't have an answer for it really. No. Who owns the story? It always worries me, you know, passing off language and passing off story. Does someone pick it up and run away with it and never come back, never acknowledge where they got the story from? That's the danger. We have to, at the same time as sharing the story, we have to educate people that it has to come back. You know, it has to be, it's a black story. It's never going to be a white story. It's a black story. White people can share it, but it's always a black story. And, you know, there are some white stories that are never going to be black, you know. Nelson on the bridge, you know, is a white story, fundamental to British Empire. You know, what's his name, playing bowls, some bloody event, you know. That's the sort of history I learned. That's a white story. It'll never be mine. And I always acknowledge where it came from, and it's a British story. So when we tell stories, you know, like some of the star constellations of our people, you know, the Seven Sisters and things like that, we don't want them to be stolen from us again. So if we share a story like the Seven Sisters, we have to remind non-Aboriginal people that it's our story. They can share it. It's wonderful for them to look into the sky and know what it's telling them about their country. But it's never their story. You know, those full-colour art books from the 70s of Aboriginal story, Mountford, I think it was, who did the painting for them. And, you know, in their time, you've got to think of the era. They were a breakthrough because it was, you know, taking Aboriginal stories seriously, but they never acknowledged where they came from. How hard was it to find, if not both of the contributors to be Aboriginal, at least one of them to be Aboriginal? How hard was that? The arts community has to think seriously about that, and they don't really always get it. You know, I'm a writer, so I talk to writers, Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal, and some of the non-Aboriginal writers are just absolutely unbelieving when I say, well, you know, I know some stories that I can never tell. I can't tell you. I can't tell my daughter, you know. And they say, how can you bear that? You know, well, I bear it very easily. You know, I've got some wonderful stories that I'll never tell.
Talk Talk, a podcast exploring Indigenous language and storytelling with Kaya Sheriff and Bruce Pascoe.
Language is being revitalised.
Mm.
What does it mean that language is being, of the hundreds of languages, that it's now being, Indigenous languages being revitalised?
Well, it was that massive trauma. If a trauma happens 230 years ago, chances are it'll take another 230 years to repair it. If we started on some kind of repair, well, very well. I'm not totally convinced that we're very far into that process, but it is happening. I see it happening. I see it happening on my own land. I see little kids. One of my favourite people teaches Aboriginal language in Orbost, and her great joy was when one of the little kids on a bus saw some swans and turned around to her teacher and said, "What did we used to call giddy?" You know, that was a triumph for her because she taught the children how to say baby swan, and the kids' first thought when they see one is the Aboriginal language word. It is their word, they're Gunai people, and that's a triumph. So it's a little thing, but it's a triumph. And we shouldn't talk about debits, we just talk about credits. There's the credit. It can be repeated and repeated and repeated and built and built and built. You know, I often hesitate when I see a bird or see a fish or what's our people's name for that? I'm trying not to do that, but I'm not one of those people who pick up language easily. You know, I can order beer in about six different languages, but that's it. When I'm learning language, it has to be repeated use. And that's why amongst other Yuin people, we try to use as many words as we can with each other in a conversational way. And that's fantastic because you really, once you hear your language used in a joke, you'll never forget it. And that's how it has to be. We have to sing it, we have to say it, we have to read it, and we have to tell it to each other in jokes and swear in it.
Absolutely. And for me, the big thing is to see in primary schools,
all
students, if they're lucky enough, the schools are bringing in language lessons and they'll learn one song in language. That's a shift where, for me, if the children can share and be proud of all of what Australia is,
and
Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander culture, and say that's our country's culture, it's just there's something in it.
And imagine how the ancestors feel when they're hearing that, when they're watching that. And people say, oh, how can you be sure of that pronunciation about a particular word? And I say, well, I'm actually not sure. I'm not sure of that pronunciation, but that's the best I can come up with. And I've looked back through words, I've asked elders, and, you know, this is the best we can do, you know. So if we've pronounced it incorrectly, I have this feeling that the ancestors go, oh, well, you know, poor lad, you know, he's doing his best. And languages change. That's how languages change. Yeah. We have to be patient and careful and loving of our own people when we're having a go.
Indigenous language and storytelling. You're listening to Talk Talk.
Oral histories and today's contemporary visual and media language. Is there a difference when it comes from an Aboriginal or First Peoples perspective?
I think we have to respect memory. We have to respect story and faithfulness to events that our people remember. It has to be treated as genuine history. We accept witness statements in courts of law from people who are remembering an event 10 years ago, and it's accepted in the court, and then people, the jury weighs and balances it according to their own opinion. So if we do that in the court of law, we should be able to do it in a country where we accept that Aboriginal people do remember an event, except that because it's a largely oral culture, that the practice of orality, there we go, I've used a university word, I won't do it again, the practice of speaking story rather than writing it or painting it is well refined in the Aboriginal community, and it has to be seen as a skill, an ability.
Another thing in regards to shared history is that in the visual and media language, the ownership and authorship hasn't always sat with Indigenous creatives for what's being told. There has to be room for both.
Mm.
And maybe it'll swing that it's a time now where, because it is accepted that blackfellas will be authorities and key creatives in that space. How do you feel around that?
I think it'll be interesting to see how it develops in the country.
Yeah.
Because I don't think we've been here before. I don't think we've been in a place where so many non-Aboriginal people want story. Australia's been in such denial that it hasn't even been an option to think like that. But so many Australians want to belong. They really want to belong. And Tony Burch and I talk about this, other writers, other painters, musicians, we yarn up about this. You know, we can't allow non-Aboriginal Australians not to love their country. That's very dangerous because you've got all these restless spirits around causing trouble. And the old people were very good at saying, we have to limit the damage of these restless spirits. They tried to embrace people, you know. We also need to control this rampant love that Australians have for their country, this rampant love, you know. You see images every now and then of people getting off a Qantas plane in Melbourne or Sydney or Perth and kissing the tarmac. We've got to use that, you know. This is love of country. So if we don't allow that love of country, then we've got these restless spirits. And the old people wouldn't have allowed it. But it has to be, we have to say, there's a law to this. And you're not going to know all the law, but you're going to have to understand the basic principles of the law about care and modesty and looking after that country. The responsibility is huge. It's life-changing. You have to commit to looking after the country. And to a people who have committed themselves to destroying the country, that's a big leap of faith. And that's part of the story. That's what Aboriginal people can do. They can look after country. They can teach other people to look after country. There are some stories that will never be shared. That's just how it is. But we have to work together and look after this country, you know.
Indigenous language and storytelling. You're listening to Talk Talk. Kaya Sheriff in conversation with Uncle Bruce Pascoe.
Storytelling informs, engages, and challenges culture. Is that the next step?
I think it's the fundamental step to tell each other stories. That's what we do. That's all culture is, and that's how we communicate. When we get up in the morning and whoever is in the house, what's our conversation about? What we're going to do today, what happened yesterday, who's looking after the chooks, you know, all of that is just story. And we do it continually. You see, people meet each other at the end of the day, and what do? They tell a story. So history is just big story, and when we come across a problem in our society, we can talk flash and call it a thesis or whatever it is, but it's just a bloody story. And this is what really annoys me about arts and novelists and all that sort of stuff, that they've forgotten their storytellers. Get over yourself. You know, you're just doing a job. You've been designated as a storyteller, and some of you perhaps shouldn't have been, but it's just like digging a hole in a road or drawing a net across a river. It's just a job for your people. And ideally, we should be doing several of them anyway. Not just, you know, I'm an artist, you know, my hands are like kid gloves, you know. We should get our hands dirty on behalf of our families and our people. And, you know, if we can tell stories and sing a song, well and good. But we get too precious about the arts, and we get too precious about banking, and we get too precious about air traffic control. You know, everyone should do everything. We should know each other's problems, and then we would care a lot more. But, you know, that's, should we call it shared history or shared history?
This podcast was made possible by Afters Indigenous and produced by Kaya Sheriff. Production support, Sue Elphinstone. Audio production and sound design, Jacob Round. And special thanks to the radio department at the Australian Film, Television and Radio School. On the next episode of Talk Talk with Kaya Sheriff and Uncle Bruce Pascoe.
There's a shift happening. Australians are thinking about their country in a different light and seeking an Indigenous perspective more than ever. But what does this mean for the current generation?
Speak to our mob all over the country and I say, what's it like for you? And everyone goes, I can't keep up with the amount of stuff we've got to do. And it's because Australia wants to have this conversation, a conversation they've never wanted to have before. And we've been wanting this conversation since 1788, and we can't back away from it now.
To find out more about Talk Talk and Afters Indigenous, visit the Afters website, aftrs.edu.au.